Welcome to Rights Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Joyce Starr. Among my books, I'm the author of Defend Your Condo and Homeowner Rights and publisher of the first Homeowners Association Rights Defense Kit. Please visit my publisher's website at starpublications.com. That's S-T-A-R-R, publications with an S, .com. The Homeowners Defense Kit Trilogy, which includes my book, is the first link on the left. We also offer telephone consultations on condo board, HOA board, and homeowner association rights problems. Our topic today is homeowners association rights, condo rights, HOA rights, and specifically Florida Condo Act FS 718 and Florida Law H995, also the implications for the nation. Our guest is my good friend, Jan Bergman, president, Cyber Citizens for Justice, CCFJ.net, and a member of our Rights Radio Brain Trust. Welcome back, Jan.
Oh, thank you for having me. Glad to be back.
Great. Well, we have so much information to cover today, including condo association board candidates. John, are you still on the line? We got cut off due to a problem with the weather.
Why? No problem with the weather. I think there was a problem with the line, but now I hear you.
All right, that's great. Well, let's just get right into it. You're going to be covering so much information, association board, candidate eligibility, and your new HOA reform survey. But let's start with Florida Law H-995 and modifications to the Florida Condo Act. Please highlight the critical changes.
Well, this was a very big change to the Florida Condo Act, and we really have to thank State Representative Julio Urbina and Senator Alex Villalobos for fighting so hard for the rights of condo owners. This is a great bill. There's still some need to make some changes, but we hope it will help. One of the biggest issues always has been the election of the condo boards and the question who was eligible to run and who was not. It's still not totally solved, but we minimum got quite a few issues solved. For example, no more long terms. Directors have to stand for election once a year. No more co-owners of one unit serving at the same time on the board. We got, hopefully, rid of the felons, which kind of bothered quite a few condos and who were up to no good on these condo boards. And we have as well a so-called certification form now where every board director has to sign that he has read and understood the governing documents and the Florida statutes. Even if that is no guarantee that they really did it and they know now what they're doing, it can be used later on if they make mistakes to say, hey, look, here's you signed, you read it. You know, the excuse is not there, oh, I didn't even know. So it's more or less a little, for security, to avoid stupid excuses in the future.
What about those who are already in office? Do they have to sign it as well?
No, at the next election.
So they're off the hook in a way?
No, not really, because, see, once a year, every condo has to have an election. And everybody who wants to run within the next 12 months has to sign this form. So... It's not that people who were elected half a year ago had to sign it now.
I'm losing you again. I think we are having a line problem today. I'm terribly sorry about it. I don't have any control over it. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Well, I lost you a little bit there. What about the eligibility form? You mentioned that there's a form that people need to fill out.
Yes, it is a form which was finally now published by the division should have been done long ago, but sometimes we get the feeling that the Whig division works against our legislators. They finally published this form, and it is available on their website and on our website if you need to use them. But see, the problem is people already couldn't follow the new law because they didn't have the necessary form to send out with the election. At fault, the division and the division chief, Mike Cochran, who obviously always has better things to do than take care of the problems which should be his daily business. This eligibility form, more or less now, is forcing people to read it, and if they don't, they lose the excuse, oh, we didn't know. That's more or less what it's for. And we kind of hope that together with education courses and further education through the website, through CDs and all kinds of other things which are in the planning, boards will finally understand that they have a responsibility. Because many still think it's all something like a potluck dinner or something like a social convention to have fun. Why? It is real serious business, and a lot of money can get lost. We just had last week the news, a condo in Port Charlotte lost about $1 million to embezzlement. What? And the boards, kind of, they couldn't care less. You know, they never bothered. You know, people suggested, hey, we need an audit. You know, something needs to be done. And the board said, oh, no, we don't need an audit. Now that the $1 million is gone, they say, oh, we should have, and so on. Boards have to understand, even if these people are elderly, it is a responsibility. They have to watch the shop, and if they don't watch the shop, there is somebody who will grab their money.
Are there other elements of this law that you'd like to share with us, some other highlights?
There definitely is one highlight which should make it easier now for the owners to get to the documents of the association. While in former times you had to write and write back and go to arbitration to seize documents, now all you do is you send two certified letters to the board, and if the board doesn't respond, the division has to subpoena these records. What we see already again is the willingness of the specialized attorneys to work against the laws. You know, we see already all kinds of interpretations sent to board members, you know, more or less saying, how to circumvent the new laws? You know, what can you do so you don't have to follow these laws? Board members have to understand one thing. Attorneys are in there for the money, for nothing else. They're not there because they're nice guys or they want to help you. They want your money. And these interpretations look nice on paper, but they're no guarantee that you win later on in court using these interpretations, because attorneys don't give you a warranty. And
are you saying,
you pay.
Are you saying that attorneys are actually writing to their clients and telling them how to avoid these primary elements of the new law? In other words, even the request for documents?
While they say, you know, don't worry, is the sentence only say may, and nobody will really bother to enforce it. You know, I just read yesterday one of these interpretation flyers sent to a condominium association from the association attorney. More or less the highlights of the explanations about the new law were, how can you avoid to follow it? You know, don't worry, there are certain things. The law isn't quite clear, so we know ways how to avoid it.
That's,
you know, instead
really
of telling these boards you should follow it and this is what you should do, no, there's not so much money in there. If everybody follows the law, who needs lawyers?
Exactly. Well, that's really shocking. I remember the case of the gentleman who spent $500,000 trying to get access to his documents.
He still does.
That was something you were involved in.
Yes.
What was the result of that?
He is in England now, and he still tries to get the attention of the courts and say, look, something is seriously wrong. I mean, he got in the meanwhile some of the documents he was asking for, and guess what? He found out that the board of directors paid themselves traveling expenses. They lived somewhere else. They met. They came down here to Florida for board meetings and got paid rent a car, the flight tickets, 1 week of food and beverages, the tea offs at the golf course, and so on, all paid with association money. No wonder they didn't want to show him the records.
No wonder, but isn't he in Florida? Wasn't he based in Florida?
Yeah, the condominium is in Florida, but he is actually from England.
Right, but now with the new law, doesn't that affect him? Does it give? He's already in court, or he's finished with that. Where is he in the process?
Well, it doesn't really help him anymore because the law is not retroactive.
Uh-huh.
You know, the law only works for what happens in the future.
Right.
Nobody was really willing to help him. I know that the select committee tried pretty hard to get the record, but you know, you have the deal, we saw that all the time, that association attorneys even fought subpoenas and told the boss, oh, don't worry, we fight it. You know, I have seen some bills from attorneys for going to the select committee meetings in Tampa, for example, quite a few $1,000s to explain to the committee why they shouldn't have the right to see the records. You know, this is wrong.
In my case, we fought for the records for 2 years. We never did obtain the records. Never.
Right. And see, these attorneys are willing to use the association's money to avoid having to show these financial documents. And it is no wonder in the end when people then find that money was embezzled and money is missing. And we're not just talking a few $100s here and a few $1,000s there. We are in many cases talking real amounts, big money. And the people suffering from it are often older folks who trusted these people. You know, oh, you know, he was always so nice. He even remembered my birthday. Well, remembering somebody's birthday doesn't mean that the guy is not a scumbag.
Right, and both you and Julio Ravina and other members of the Florida legislature, of course, have really done an outstanding job in Florida. Do you see this as a role for the, a plaque for the nation, something that could be modeled across the nation?
Well, the nation should follow. There is a need because, believe me, this is not only in Florida. Also, I have to admit it is very strong here because what we see here as well is a lack of enforcement of the law. Because don't ever forget, any law is as good, only as good as the enforcement. But all over the nation, especially in the southern states, you know, from California to Florida to the Carolinas, you name it, we have serious problems, and a pretty good industry has built up around it to get the money. And see, people here are always being told that these associations are valuable, they protect the property values, and you name it what they're being told. Nothing of it is true, because especially with our bad economy now and the bad real estate market, you see that these associations are really a serious liability for the wallets of even the good people who did everything right, who paid their property tax, who paid their mortgage, who paid their association dues. Suddenly they're being forced to pay for some neighbors who were not responsible, who didn't pay, and now suddenly they have to pay two and three times as much as was agreed upon. And where does that help with property values? It doesn't. Because
well, no, and then they lose their homes too because they can't afford to pay. So then now
right,
suddenly.
Right, and you see in some of these communities where you have many foreclosures, you see rundown properties. They definitely don't enhance the property values, and you know, on top of it, these people have to pay two and three times as much as were agreed upon in the beginning.
I had a case yesterday of a woman in Missouri who discovered that her, after 8 years of living in an HOA, not of course a condo, but an HOA, that they had not or had only recently filed for their nonprofit status, for their association status. How is that possible? How do you have an association for 8 years and fail to file?
Well, because nobody watches the shop.
Nobody
you know, I get here in Florida often, I live in this and this and this association. Okay. So the first thing you do is you look who are the players, you know, who's the registered agent, who's the management company, who's the attorney on record, and so on. So you go to the Division of Corporation and look up this association. Guess how often I find that they, since 3, 4, 5 years, forgot to file the annual business report. They're long not in business anymore. They're not even a legal entity anymore, and they still do business as usual.
Well, how does that relate to the state enforcement and state laws and the Attorney General's office? How does it all come together?
Well, the only thing, if, for example, we had a case over in Pasco County where the association sued two homeowners. The homeowners and their attorney found out that this association, which sued them, is not a legal entity because, you know, they were long not legal anymore because they didn't file their annual business report, so they were not incorporated. All they did in the end, they paid a penalty. They filed the annual business report, and everything was hanky-dory again. There is no teeth. These laws have no teeth. You know, if you can violate the law knowing nothing will happen to you, why shouldn't you violate the law?
But when you're an association, after all, you're a non-profit corporation, so you are bound by laws pertaining to corporations. This should not be taken lightly by any state.
No, it shouldn't be taken lightly, but nobody does anything about it.
Now, that's the real issue, isn't it? The real issue
we see so many problems in these condominiums. You know, I mean, daily, I get daily 30, 40, 50 emails from people who have problems in their associations. I can assure you, we have a so-called division within the DVPR. These people are supposed to regulate these condominiums. They should take care of it. They should look into if there are complaints filed for violation of the statutes. You know, but if these people would do their job, and they don't, they clearly fail to do what they're supposed to do. There's no argument about it. You know, if they would do their job, I would suggest that minimum 50% of the complaints would quickly go away. But if you know that you can get away, I don't want to say with murder, but with violations of the statutes, then the temptation is big to violate these statutes. If you would know that you would get punished for doing wrong things, you know, violating the statutes, most of the people involved would think twice and three times before they would violate it. But, you know, I always compare it with a kid. You know, if a kid is in the kitchen and there's a cookie jar without a lid, the kid will grab the cookie. If there is a lid on the cookie jar, the kid will think twice before taking off the lid and taking the cookie. And that's the same with our associations.
What about the reforms of the Bureau of Professional Regulation? Weren't there reforms built in to the new law?
Yes, they are part of the reform. The division always complains they're totally overworked. Well, I can understand that nothing gets done when you're not organized, but that's on another piece of paper. But they have been now taken care of, that all the small, so-called small issues have to be handled by the ombudsman. So in the future, starting on October 1st, they can't come up with the excuse anymore saying, oh, we're totally overworked. They now have to go after the serious violations, after the things which really should be taken care of, and we will see how it works. I mean, honestly, I doubt it. With the people we have there running as so-called executives, I doubt it will ever work.
But if people go to the ombudsman doesn't have the power. They don't have the power in that office to change the
situation. They got a few more powers with the new bill.
What are those powers?
We will see how it works out. We will most likely see in the next few days the appointment of a new condo ombudsman. Hopefully it will be somebody who will take care of business, who is willing to do it, who is willing to take care of the business and not the paper pushers. We have enough already sitting there in the division. And if that works, then the ombudsman's office will get more staff next year and most likely will take care of quite a lot more business.
But when you say take care, what does that mean? Will they be able to intervene, to communicate
with the
board?
For example, the whole mediation stuff, the whole, talking to each other, small complaints which could be solved by a few telephone calls. All that can be now taken care of by the condo ombudsman. It has been taken away from the division, so the division can concentrate on the serious issues. We will have to see how it works out. It's a matter of a try, but it will be tested, because it takes away the excuse of the division that they're totally overworked, they have to take care of all these little things and don't have time to take care of the serious issues. We will see how it works out.
And it's also the case that the ombudsman may not have the best advice or the right advice or take the right actions. In my case, of course, sadly to say, we were totally undermined by the ombudsman, who later admitted at that time that he made a mistake. And because of the mistake made by the ombudsman in our case, we had to continue for almost another year and a half. So,
I know your case. In my opinion, it was another case where the arbitrator was just treading water and not getting anything done, and let the attorney for the association get away with filing stupid motions and all kinds of other stuff.
Right. That was the biggest part of it. But in the point being that while the ombudsman was of good intentions, made a mistake that allowed the board to think they could get away with it, so when the DBPR did not do its job, or in fact sided with the attorney, it made life all the more difficult for us. But putting that aside, that was what I experienced. Hopefully other people will be spared that in the future. But I'd like to move now, if we could, to the new survey that you've done on HOA reform. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, and this goes now from condominiums over to homeowners associations.
Right.
Over the years, the so-called lobbying groups, they call themselves lobbying groups for associations. They're actually lobbying groups for attorneys, nothing else. Always claim, oh, they represent so many people and, the legislators should listen to them. Actually, they represent a very, very small minority. When we put out the survey, we did it because we wanted to know what the people really think. And we needed the people to really answer. See, that's why we said we only accept submissions from people who give us their names, where they live, the area, and some certain things. We guaranteed anonymity, so we will not publish their names, but we have every name on file, so we could always prove that we had these submissions. We wanted to know how the people really feel, and I can assure you that the worst most negative response had still an approval rate of 76%.
That's pretty strong.
Most of the questions we asked, you know, for example, the question, do you want a regulatory agency, and are you willing to pay for a dollar for financing this agency, was answered affirmative by 93% of the more than 1,000 people who submitted their survey. And that is a very good number. Every survey specialist will tell you that if you have responses from 1,000 people plus, you will have a good survey. We're working on it. It will most next week.
Haven't there been a number of surveys involved with HOAs and condos previously, but I think you had some problems with that. Could you address it?
Well, see, most of these so-called polls and surveys were aimed at certain people. You know, it was not publicly that you could participate. They more or less targeted the people they wanted to ask. For example, there is this infamous CEI survey where they only asked CEI members. You know, that's logical what kind of result you get. You know, that's the same if I go in a homeowners association and ask all the disgruntled owners, you will get 100% affirmative response if you ask, do you like homeowners association or not? These disgruntled people will all say no. You know, that's the same. You know, we have, for example, the question, do you want election reforms, you know, for HOAs according to Florida Statute 718, the condo law? So using this, funny enough, the board members with a wide majority answered, no, we don't want election reforms. See, they're already sitting there. Why should they want reforms? You know, but the people who are just owners more or less overwhelmingly wanted reforms. You know, that is how you see how the difference is. And if you only ask certain people, you only get certain answers. But you need to ask a bright, from people from everywhere, from all sorts of life, from all kinds of different associations, what they want in order to see what the big picture really is. There was today in the Sun Sentinel, there was an article about the CAN push poll where you could anonymously submit your answers.
Explain what that is. Can you explain for a moment?
A push poll is a poll where you ask very specific questions. You don't have to say who you are, what you are, and so on, and you just answer. There is no control over who answered, what answered. More or less, if you want to, you can answer 10 times. You know, they're not worth more than, you know, you see on the internet home pages of the media, you see always these polls where you can vote yes or no. That are push polls. They don't really have any kind of scientific value or even the value of giving the opinion of certain people. I mean, on the other hand, admittedly, they didn't even get more than 300 answers. And we still doubt who all answered because I could have answered 10 times if I wanted to. But funny enough, despite this, still with these people who targeted more or less board members, the answer was, yes, we want a regulatory agency, and yes, we are willing to pay for a dollar for it. So that confirms what we have only in our survey, 93% of the people were in favor of it. And we will publish this. But what people have to understand is one thing, and that is where people lack often the knowledge. See, $4 a year for a regulatory agency is really not much. I give you an example. If you have a regulatory agency and there is a law in the books and you don't know what this law is supposed to mean, you contact the regulatory agency and you get an answer free of charge because they already paid the $4 for each of your owners. So if you have 100 owners, you pay $400 for this regulatory agency. Now, if you don't have a regulatory agency, your only way to get an interpretation of these statutes is by contacting an attorney and say, looky here, can you give me an interpretation? And the answer will be yes. It will cost you about $400. So more or less with one letter for one interpretation, your cost is already history. That's gone. So you really don't invest a lot of money by paying $4 for a regulatory agency.
Well, why not pay more? Why not pay $10? After all, it's not a lot of money.
What? You have to understand that $4 is plenty of money. You know, it is estimated that about 2.2 million homes are within mandatory homeowners associations. Multiply that by four, you're already up to $8.8 million annual budget.
So they have more. They have as much money as they need.
Well, $8.8 million would build you the Cadillac of regulatory agencies, believe me.
But we don't have a Cadillac here.
No, but so far we don't pay $4 yet.
Okay.
You know, and that is what the survey was supposed to do. And actually, our survey results confirmed what we said all along. People are willing people want to be regulated. They want the association more accountable. They want to know where the money goes. They want to see their records. They want to have fair elections. You know, see, these homes are for most families the biggest investment of their life. And many of these families work many, many hours to get the money for the down payment to buy this dream home. Some others work their lifelong up north to buy their dream home in Florida at time of retirement. But see, they want and they have the right to get a fair deal in the association. They have the right to know what happens with their money. And it, you know, and believe me, we don't need to create dictatorships. And that is what we did. Because don't forget, the boards and the attorneys and homeowners associations know very well that they can violate every law in the book. Because 95% of the people who would like to challenge it and who feel what's done is wrong don't have the money to challenge them in court. And that is actually, in the moment, the only way to do something. You know, it is cost prohibitive. We have seen simple court cases for document requests costing $20,000 in legal fees. You know, we had a case where the association sued an owner because the flowers in his flower bed were too red. It cost him $110,000 to defend it. You know, who has that money?
I had a case recently, again, people in an HOA, an elderly mother. Here arrives the HOA, and they plant some shrubs in the garden. But the elderly mother didn't understand that that was the HOA planting shrubs, so she removed them. She removed the shrubs, and, of course, the HOA sued the owner, who is her daughter. And now she's facing a lawsuit because her mother removed the shrubs. And it seems people don't want to just work things out. They don't need attorneys. They don't need lawsuits. They need a little bit of compassion, and that seems to be what's missing in all of this.
Well, what is missing is common sense, because, see, you have to understand one thing. Most of the people who get on these boards have no basic understanding of what they should do. They have no business experience. They never dealt with these issues before. Some of them move into associations and don't even really know what an association is. So now they're suddenly a board member. With it comes a lot of power, and they don't know what to do. So what do? They rely on what they're being told by the so-called professionals. These pro- professionals are the community association managers, and they are the attorneys. Both of them are in there for the money. They're not in there because they want to do something good for the people of the community. They want to make as much money as possible for as little work as possible. That's just plainly it. No other issue there. So these people who are in it for the money are now advising these board members who more or less don't know what they should do. They tell them, oh, you know, you can't do selective enforcement. You know, you have to sue everybody who has a brown spot on the lawn equally.
Right.
You know, boom, here comes a pile of lawsuits. You know, remember the case with the Jupiter flagman. The attorney told the board, oh, the flagpole is a lawn ornament, and he should have asked for permission, so sue him. You know, $250,000 later, they lost. 95 homeowners have to share the legal fees, and the flagpole is still there. What a waste of good money.
Well, you bring up a very important point, and that is that the homeowners themselves have no power over what the board does in terms of launching lawsuits. And that seems to be really critical here. They need to be stopped or held back.
Well, you see, what is critical is the fact that this system, as we see it, more or less gives certain owners power over the lives of their neighbors.
Right.
And there are, fair to say, a lot of people who can't deal with it. You know, the power gets into their heads, and they're certainly power hungry, and they try to tell everybody and then some what to do and not to do and how to lead their lives. You know, in Europe, this system is illegal because Europeans have realized that it is a breeding ground for dictatorships. And that is what it really is. See, boards have the money. They have the power of the attorney, the association attorney behind them. They have the manager who will do everything to get his contract renewed and to please these board directors. And together, they are a big machine which can just roll over any owner, right or wrong. And that is the wrong issue. See, if attorneys would get to the point where they represent really the association members, we would see a lot of relief. But they don't, because they think they represent these board members. They help these board members, right or wrong, because they know the board members are signing their checks. And, you know, instead of once in a while telling them, hey, guys, what you're doing is absolutely wrong, they cheer them on because they can bill them for some more hours. And that is what this is all about.
Well, what are some of the most important, three or four of the most important results of your new survey?
Well, I would say the most important result is actually the fact that for the first time, there is a survey which shows what the people, the owners, really want. Because don't forget, in former times, the trade organizations and the attorneys with their financially well-oiled machinery created so-called surveys saying, oh, 90% of all the people in associations are really happy. Well, yeah, sure, if you only ask the board members who are in power, yes, they are happy because they can tell everybody else what to do and not to do. But they didn't ask the real owners. So you got results which were tainted, biased, you name it, they were wrong. You know, and then, for example, the CEI created push polls on their website, the Community Association Institute, which is a national trade organization for these attorneys and community association managers and service providers. And certainly, the owners found out that there are these push polls, and certainly, 85% were not happy. What did they do? They quickly pulled these polls from their website and claimed, oh, they have no scientific value. But now they use the same system to say, oh, look, we did a survey and now we know exactly what these people want. See, don't forget that these organizations like CAN, like CALL, they are attorney-driven and financed lobbying groups, nothing else. They find quite a few board members who want to stay in power to support them, and that is just it. Then they claim, oh, they represent all these associations. Well, if an association hires an attorney, they hire them for legal representation, not for the fact that they go to Tallahassee and tell them all our owners think alike. You know, they don't have that presentation right, but they take it. And that is the wrong thing, and that is why our legislators often got the wrong message, because these people showed up and said, oh, look, you know, we represent all these 400 associations here, you know, with 20,000 members, and you should really listen to what we have to say. See, an owner who gives an attorney the right to write higher bills must be either stupid or doesn't know what he's doing.
We don't want to choose. Is that a multiple choice?
No, that is just the way it is, you know. And even often board members have to understand that they are often sitting on the wrong side of the fence, because don't forget, they are owners as well, they pay as well, and maybe next week they are not board members anymore. Because, you know, one of the best things that worked in homeowners association in recent time of legislative changes is the recall provision. We are working weekly on recalls of homeowners association boards because the people are unhappy. So these board members who are so much against, or so they say, against owner-friendly laws, should think that they may one day be just an owner and not a board member anymore.
Yes,
you know,
but it's
and then
very...
they will come and say, oh, well, that's not what we wanted, you know.
It's a very long and hard procedure to recall a board. It can happen, it perhaps can happen easier in Florida than other states, but the person
it works in the meanwhile pretty well here.
But the person who leads it really has to be very strong and determined, and they have to have resources, and they have to know that their fellow owners are going to be with them by and large, and they have to do everything correctly, because one false step and it won't be
right,
accepted.
But you have to understand one thing. See, elections in homeowners associations, the sitting board can cheat all day long. You know,
right.
There are no fair elections in homeowners association because I can twist every election in the way I want it if I'm the sitting board. Because they can make up their own rules, they can say how the election is done. They sometimes say, oh, no proxies, only the people who come here in person can vote, meaning all the people who live somewhere else suddenly are disenfranchised and can't vote. You name it, it's being done. So recall is a very good way, and in some associations you see a big amount of unhappy people. And we actually have a website which is password protected, which tells you in detail with all the forms and all the necessary things how to recall a board, and it works very good.
And we also have a special report that was written by Dr. David Goldenberg on 10 steps recalling your board, and I think that owners will find that very useful as well if they visit starpublications.com. I know that he's very active with CCFJ, and we're very proud to have him as an author of that report and the book Creating Condo and Homeowner Association Documents. I wanted to ask you about other results of your survey.
What? The result, there were 14 questions, actually, which the people answered. And more or less, the result was very clear. People want a regulatory agency. People want an ombudsman's office. People want election reform. One of the main issues was that people want to hold the directors, the board members, responsible and accountable. That was one of the serious messages we got from this survey. To be very honest, I was surprised that that was a priority of all the people who submitted their surveys. You know, they want board directors who do wrong punished. because they feel it is their money which is being wasted by these people, sometimes embezzled. You know, we are seeing cases over cases where board directors embezzle money, some in big amounts, some in small amounts, but, you know, even $5,000 counts. You know, we just discovered in a big condominium that the board directors are paying themselves Christmas bonuses.
In Florida.
At the tune of $4,000 each.
Now, that's a major condo in Florida, recently exposed. You would think, with all the new regulations and laws, that they would stop that kind of nonsense. But they're going
No, they don't, and I can tell you the reason why.
Okay.
Because the attorneys tell them, we use association money to cover you if it's discovered that you did something wrong.
But that's really terrifying for the owner, because then what about the new process for taking such complaints to the police, which is being tested out in various areas of Miami?
Well, it is so far tested in Miami and in Broward County, but
okay.
That doesn't mean that the same problems don't exist in other areas of Florida. See, we had for years always the people from Central Florida, the legislators, claim, oh, this is just a problem down in South Florida. You know, we don't have that problem. You know, guess what? Our survey, we have lots and lots of submissions from Central Florida, and guess what? They have the same problems than the people down in South Florida. You know, there's no difference. It's the same issue. Money gets embezzled here like it gets embezzled in Port Charlotte and in Miami and in Fort Lauderdale and in Palm Beach County. You know, for example, Palm Beach County is not part of this pilot program. And last year, people discovered that their president took off with $650,000. And the state attorney said, oh, you know, we don't have really proof because, you know, that money was taken out by credit card out of ATM machines and so on, and we didn't have the video showing that he was actually the person who used the credit card. You know, hey, if that person who uses the credit card steals the credit card and then uses it, it wouldn't pay for the repairs of the house of the president in Pennsylvania, would it?
But, you know, I think we need to ask here, if somebody takes a credit card from an organization that they work for and uses it to take out that kind of sum of money or any sum of money, they can be sent to jail. Simple.
Yes, but see, don't forget what kind of punishment is there. You know, we had the case last year in Hallandale Beach where four people kind of conspired to more or less embezzled $1.4 million. One of them was a board member who was high in the 70s. I think he was accused of embezzling about $500,000 of that money. So he was convicted. The judge said, yeah, but, you know, I can't send such an old guy to jail, you know, poor guy. The court ruling was, okay, he can live happily ever after in his condominium until he dies, and then the association inherits his condominium. What punishment is that?
And the money was lost?
It encourages other people to do the same.
Was the money returned?
No. You know, we have an example a few years ago. You know, and that is what makes these things so funny. You know, the DBPR went after a condo president who embezzled $7,000. You know, not a big amount, but it's $7,000. So they said, okay, you did wrong. After lengthy discussion, he finally admitted it. So they said, okay, you know, we fine you $1,000. Well, he's paid the $1,000. Guess what? They forgot to ask him to pay back the money, so he's still $6,000 ahead of the game.
This is crazy.
Yeah, but it's crazy. But that's what it is. And that is exactly the reason why we have these problems. Because
what is sad is because Florida has more progress, thanks to people like Robina and yourself and a handful of others, more progress than other states, and yet when we look at the larger picture, it's still quite sad, isn't it?
Right, but see, you have to understand one thing. Homeowners for more than 20 years were asleep at the wheel. Nobody tried anything, nobody did anything. There were no homeowners activists who tried to change the law, and more or less the attorneys and the camp managers were the ones who wrote the law. And you can imagine they wrote the law to their advantage. Now you have a hard time changing laws, because changing laws is very difficult. And don't forget, you fight a big lobbying group. You know, some of the legislators who are favorable to owner-friendly bills got personally insulted from these lobbyists. You know, it's a common deal, and they are powerful. And in this country, it's sad to say, but still an expensive lobbyist has a lot of power in Tallahassee and counts for a lot more than the few hundred people who feel that changes are needed.
Do you see the same thing across other states? Do you see that the associations of managers and community association groups, again, are dominating in almost every state?
Yes, they do. And you see, we have made quite some progress. I mean, thanks to legislators like Julio Robina, who fights hard for the rights of these owners and who feels that things are wrong and need to be corrected. But other states don't have that. You know, you have in Texas a senator who is the big boss of a huge management company and who more or less writes his own bills there.
Well, that's delightful.
This is wrong.
Absolutely. Well, we want to always, when we bring up this issue, we want to thank Julio Robina for his amazing and dedicated efforts over so many years to bring change to Florida. I often say that I'd like to see him run for the U.S. Congress, but then we'd lose him in Florida, wouldn't we?
Well, we sure need him in 2 years. We have to change the title from House Representative to Senator.
That's what I think, too. I think we
should
all
support
him.
That is very important. All the people he helped should think about it, helping him to become the senator he deserves to be.
I agree with that. I couldn't agree more.
I'll be the first
to sign up.
Yeah, well, fine. And you know, I tell you the truth, if we had more legislators like him, we would be in much better shape. And
I agree.
You know, I know you can't clone people in this country. So, but maybe for that specific purpose, we should make an exception.
I think so, too. Well, Jan, we've come to the end of our program. We have to wind down now, and I have to thank you. I want to thank you for being on our show. I want to invite you back on a future show because we just love having you on, and it's been delightful. So
thank you,
Jan Bergman. This is Dr. Joyce Starr signing off. I'm your host of Rights Radio and the author and publisher of Homeowner Rights Books at starpublications.com. And we look forward to having you with us on our next show. Bye-bye.